Lord, we'll thank you, God, and give him a touch to be given. Amen. just be starting. I play this football.
Great. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Chains are broken tonight. Hallelujah. Chains are broken tonight in the name of the Lord. There's more than one family with situations going on. And I declare in the name of Jesus this evening that those chains are broken and they're free tonight. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's because of Him. It's His work. It's His miracles are so great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God's good.
Give Him one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. At this time, we are going to ask the blessing over the offering for tonight. We'll greet everyone. The ones that you watch live stream, get offers there if you like online. I just want to pray for service. Hallelujah. I just thank the Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank the Lord. Thank Him for His presence. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad we just worship and serve and live with Almighty God? Hallelujah. He's concerned about what we're concerned about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this evening. Lord, as we receive the offering for tonight, we just ask to bless the gift and the giver. Let all praise and all glory always come back to your mighty name. Mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would everyone say?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Hallelujah.
There's a miracle.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch right now, God. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Praise you. Praise you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In the blood of the Lord. In the name. Thank you. Thank you.
God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Having all kind of difficult sound, everything. Tonight we don't have enough people up the top, just not here. The run is not properly. I hope they're hearing things online now. Going to be still in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Going to be talking about fivefold ministry tonight. How that plays out within the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. And this is what it reads like. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God through a perfect through the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Amen. I've entitled our lesson tonight, the vital organ of the church. The vital organ of the church. Now, if you look at your handout, and we can see what we got here this evening, to better clarify the text, we will break it down into three separate parts. First, we're going to look at God's work, or what God does in the church, or for the church, and secondly, the purpose and responsibility of the church in use of the ministries given. And thirdly, the duration
or time span of the operation of the ministry. The first part is God's work. And if you notice to the diagram that I have to the left there, I've got Christ gave. And then underneath that, God's work. God's work in the church. He gives to and for the church. These are leadership ministries of which I call the vital organs of the body. Now, take it for granted, we all understand that the church is the body of Christ on this earth. That when he went away, he went back to the form that he was in the beginning. And so the body of Christ becomes the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 states, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Amen. So the church is his body. Amen. You're not going to see Jesus somewhere in a fleshly body sitting on a throne anymore. He's back to the same place that he was in the beginning before he came down and left and took on a fleshly body. The church is his body today. Now, I want you to, everybody, to think about this. Physical bodies have vital organs that are necessary for life, health, heart, kidneys, etc. They're vital organs. If somebody was to, say, get stabbed or shot, if the bullet or the knife misses one of the vital organs, you got a good chance to survive. But if the bullet or the knife hits a vital organ, you can very well leave it. Amen? Because the vital organ, and when you go to see the doctor or go into the hospital, usually the first things they do is do what? Take what? Vital signs. Amen. So that's the physical body. The church, as the body of Christ, likewise, has vital organs necessary for life and health. And these are apostles, prophets, etc. And if you look again at the diagram there, it said Christ gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. That's what God, that's how God worked the church, by giving these ministries, by implanting these ministries. These vital organs are a gift from God, and how God works through the church to promote and give life, health, and growth to his body. And in the same way, your physical body needs all the vital organs to live and to function, the church needs the leadership, guidance, and direction of these ministries to live, to grow, and to function the way God has ordained it to be on this earth. Each component of the fivefold ministry has its purpose and function within the body. The collective group make up the eldership or overseers of the church. And this is what we need to understand and to realize that these ministries, these various offices are very much needed within. The purpose of these is, if you notice again, I'll take you back to the diagram I've had fixed, the graphic there, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. That's the purpose. That's the function. So right here, what we've already talked about tonight, folks, is that those people who say they don't need a church, or they don't need a pastor, because they don't need nothing to be so dependent. They don't know they're cutting themselves off from the fly line of health and spiritual growth. Amen. Somebody asked me some time ago, they said, it was after a teaching, it was after a lesson on Wednesday night, I don't know what I was teaching at the time, but they come to me afterwards and talk and said, Brother Sammy, I need you to help me understand something. I said, what's that? I said, well, you have the Holy Ghost, and I have the Holy Ghost, but how come you seem to have a greater understanding of the Word and what it means and the depths of it than what I can grasp? I said, just my Holy Ghost and your Holy Ghost is the same thing. There's no difference in it, but there's a difference in the gift. Amen. The difference in the gift. God has placed these different ministries, the fivefold ministry in the body, to help lead everybody and to guide them and to give them direction. Amen. And what I'm able to receive, I receive through the pastoral ministry. God anoints me and gifts me what I need to teach others and to train others. Does that make sense? It's not that my Holy Ghost is any different, but I've got a different gift. I've got a different calling. So that's how that comes about. So each component of the fivefold ministry has its purpose, function within the body. The collective group make up the eldership or overseers of the church. And before we go to the next page, I want to talk briefly about the duration or the time span. He said, until we all attain the unity of the faith and we come to full maturity of Christ. So church, until you can say that we come together in perfect unity and that we are fully matured in Christ, and we're to the full stature of Jesus Christ, as long as that's working within us, we still need to fivefold. Amen. There's not going to be an end of it until that day. And I like what I heard somebody say one time, that the university of Jesus Christ, people never will graduate from in this life. Amen. It will be when your physical body is redeemed and you get your glorified body. Amen. Then all these other things be over with. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look on the back page, number 16. And all of these fivefold ministries, like I said, it makes up the eldership, overseers in the body of Christ. Acts chapter 14, verse 23, I've got it printed in the New Living Translation. Notice this. Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, excuse me, also appointed elders to the church with prayer and fasting. They turned the elders over to the care of the Lord and in whom they had put their trust. Paul and Barnabas was traveling, going, establishing churches, setting up new works everywhere. And they were under the category of apostleship. So through that gift then, that they had the authority that when they set up a church to appoint elders, men that has come in, given their life to God, been filled with the Spirit, and was set under some tutorship, some training, and then they appointed elders in every church. And then they moved on down the road. And the elders have the oversight there. That's what the scripture is talking about. So we're going to break down these various ministries tonight. And I've got on your handout the apostle and the prophet, office of apostle and office of prophet. That's as far as we'll get with them tonight. But let's talk about the office of apostle that God has placed in the church, earthly apostle. The Greek word translated apostle is pronounced apostolos. That's also where we get our name, apostolos. All comes from the same root word. But that's the Greek word, apostolos, and literally means one who is sent. A true New Testament apostle is one who is divinely sent to a certain place or places to plant and establish churches. He lays the spiritual foundation of God's building and is somewhat comparable to a general contractor, as Paul, an apostle himself, wrote. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, for those of you watching online. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe. And as the Lord assigned to each, now this is Paul talking, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave me growth or the increase. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The reason why Paul is saying this now, if you remember, the church in Corinth was divided. Some people said, I'm a Paul. Somebody else said, I'm a Apollos. Somebody else, I'm a Peter. You know, and they were, even back then, they were picking favorites. And I think it's a shame. I'm going to stop right here. I've got to interject this thing. I find this true just about everywhere I go, that people will follow a preacher's style more than the calling of life. They'll follow the style, the way the preacher preaches or delivers or handles themselves. They follow that, you know. I mean, I've seen where evangelists would come in, and the evangelists would be really, you know, fired up and anointed, and he would preach a sermon that the pastor had preached sometime in the past. Nobody got excited about the pastor preaching it, but the evangelist, because the way he presented himself, people follow. That's what I'm talking about, the style of a man. And we shouldn't do that. We should follow the Word of God. Amen. And and let the Word of God move. Let me continue to read here. He said, he who plants, I've got this bold print, he who plants and he who waters are one. Notice this now. Some people today want to think, well, who's more important, the apostle or the prophet or the pastor or the evangelist? Who's the most prominent? Who's the most important? Paul said, he who plants and he who waters are one. Paul was an apostle. If you studied about Apollos, he was a mighty teacher. He was Paul said, I planted the church here in Corinth. I laid the foundation and got the, but Apollos has come along through his teaching and has watered so God can bring growth. And Paul says, he who plants and he who waters are one. The ministry is equal inside of God. There's no big I's, little U's, and that's the same thing for the whole body of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder. I laid the foundation, and someone else is building upon it. That would be Apollos. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Now let's look here and break this down. A master builder is what we call a general contractor. You know anything about a building and houses? You got a general contractor. The general contractor oversees the entire building process. He envisions the finished product from the very first contract. Well, the master builder, Paul said that's what he was, building that church in Corinth. From the very first, he can see the finished product, what it's going to be when it's all put together. He's not a specialist like a carpenter or bricklayer. He may be able to do the work of a carpenter or bricklayer, but probably not as well as they can do it themselves. Likewise, the apostle has the ability to do the work of an evangelist or pastor, but only for a limited time as he establishes the work. Is everybody following what I'm saying? The apostle Paul usually remained, if you study Paul, you'll find out Apostle Paul never stayed nowhere longer than 6 months to 3 years. 3 years is the most he ever stayed in. He moved and went into an area that didn't have a church. He got it established. He was the master builder. He built it up. He appointed elders, ordained elders, and trained them to carry the work on, to oversee the work on. Then because he was an apostle, he moved on to where else God led him, and he put it in the hands of those there. So an apostle can also act like an evangelist, or he can act like a pastor. But that's only going to be for a limited time as he establishes church. The apostle is best at establishing churches and then overseeing them to keep them on God's course. An apostle is responsible for installing elders, pastors, overseers to shepherd each congregation he plants. The original 12 apostles hold a special place which can't be mimicked or duplicated. There are some today that want to pick up a title and call themselves an apostle. And they say, well, I'm just like what the 12 was. No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm not saying that they're not apostles. I've just got to explain what apostles they are. But the apostles that was back in the beginning, the first original, there's nobody like them today because if it was, they could sit down and write another book of the Bible. Think about it. Amen. They would have that authority, and the Word of God is complete. Amen. I don't care how much anointing I got, I can't sit down and write something else than the Word of God. If I add to or take away, God's going to add to the plagues to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Apostle is responsible for installing elders, pastors. And then, like I said, the original 12 hold a special place that can't be mimicked or duplicated. They held authority which none today can hold. Just like I got through saying. I mean, they had the authority. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Then you got Luke. No, he wrote the Gospel of Luke. And also the book of Acts. So they had authority that none today hold. The office of apostle, as we know it today, is best defined by our modern day mission. That's how I feel that you can best define the office of apostle today. why would I say a missionary? Why would I say that? I won't talk to him. I've known some and know some today. Brother Carl Langle, he was an apostle. He had an apostle. The missionaries that we support here in our church, they do the work of apostles, same work that Paul and Barnabas did. Paul and Silas a little later on set up churches, established work, and Sister Mary Mitchell in Mexico, she spent now most of her life, precious lady, she devoted her whole life to the gospel. And right now, there are five, or maybe not six, I think working on the sixth church that's been established in Mexico by her office. And each one of those got pastors and overseers in each church. And she just is back on the sidelines, just keeping up with everybody, seeing what everybody's doing, and like that. So that's what I'm talking about. The ones who truly hold the office of apostle today is best defined by the modern day who today we call missionary. So has everybody got a good understanding? Yes. The original 12 had an authority that they don't have today. Like I said a minute ago, because those 12 apostles sit down and add to the Bible, and write a book of the Bible. They had that anointing. That anointing was written. You know what I mean? None of those who are apostles today has that authority. But now, as far as power, anointing, and all that, nobody else's name is going to be on the foundation. Hallelujah. That's the faith. No, that's fine. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, it is. Stop and ask. That's what I want you to do. Okay, so we've talked about apostleship. Now let's talk about the office of a prophet. I believe that every spirit-filled Christian is called to live that life. Man. That is an aspect of the spirit-filled life. But living a prophetic life or having the gift of prophecy and being appointed by God to the office of a prophet are totally different things. Amen. If you've got the Holy Ghost, then you are called to a prophetic life. And let me explain that this way, Brother Paul. Has there ever been times that you've been in the church and the Lord will put on your heart to go pray for somebody? That's a prophetic. That's a prophetic gift. When God speaks to you through the Spirit, it's a, so everybody that's got the Holy Ghost is called to a prophetic life. And God will use you in various things. And there are nine gifts of the Spirit. One of them is the gift of prophecy. But there's a difference in that and somebody who's called to be a prophet. And I'm going to try to break this down. The office of a prophet is one that, along with the apostle and other fivefold ministry, has a senior role of direction and influence in the body of Christ. Remember, the vital organs of the church. The gift of prophecy, which is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, is where God uses individuals to speak a word to his church or people. But most who have the gift do not operate the office of prophecy. God uses everybody prophetically, like I just gave an example of a Paul there. You got the Holy Ghost. I mean, you could feel, I mean, a lot of times as I minister, and I will give a word, I will say, you know, that is the prophetic. But yet I don't hold a prophet thought. There's still a difference in that. A prophet's primary function in the Old Testament was to serve as God's representative or ambassador by communicating God's word to people and nations. Amen. Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5, God spoke to Jeremiah. He said, "Before you was formed in the womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nation." See, under the Old Testament time, they didn't have a Bible to go by, and God used the office of a prophet every time he wanted the people spoke to. That's what it was under the Old Testament. True prophets never spoke on their own authority or shared their personal opinion, but rather delivered the message God himself gave them. Prophets in the early church was widespread and diverse. A band of prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. You can find that in Acts chapter 11, verse 28. Agabus said there's going to be a... So he was a prophet. He was a New Testament prophet. And God used him to give a warning to the people so they can prepare. And let me say this. God never brings judgment until he first sends a warning. And if I fail to listen to the warning, then if something bad happens to me, it's on me. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. God always sends, and he's, the word says he never does move or do anything until he first talks to his prophet. Amen. So, Agabus gave a warning, and Philip, who was the first deacon, he was, you know, there were seven original deacons in the church. They was placed in the church to make sure that everybody was getting fed, the poor wasn't going hungry, and all of that. And that's what the deacon's job. And Philip was one of those seven. But he, because he was faithful to that position, he was raised up to become an evangelist, and he began to travel and preach and conduct meetings. And he had four daughters who prophesied. So these offices is not just limited to men. Amen. Philip had four daughters, and all four of them was prophets. They prophesied. Amen. You'll find that in Acts 21. And then the final scripture is Acts 15:32. And Judas and Silas. Now this Silas is the same one that later went with Paul. You know, they was in the jail at midnight. Remember that story? Judas and Silas being prophets. Now, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. That's what prophets do. They exhort, speak the words of the Lord that God gives them, and they confirm. So these two men is named as being prophets in the New Testament. And notice, Silas traveled with Paul. Paul was an apostle, but Silas was a prophet. Different office. And so I have not exhausted, but I hope I gave you enough tonight on these first two offices, the apostle and the prophet, if you can understand the function and the difference of it. Next time, Lord willing, we will carry it on, continue this fivefold ministry. Anybody else got a comment or a question? cross stand. Be blessed and be God. Just thank God for all of the coming out tonight. Pray. This word tonight, both of tonight, the Lord, watch your mind. Be with each and one, touch on the road, head home. Praise the Lord.